Well, we're back from a break. This process, this dialectical process that is the heart and soul of psychology, sociology, it is the very pattern of the UN, Council of Foreign Relations, the consensus process, your town hall meeting, the group grade, total quality management, total quality leadership, that's the Navy, DARE and a COPS program for the police. Every institution, church growth included, is built on this dialectical process, and its whole focus is on human relationship, behavioral science. That is, Paul says, avoid the oppositions of so-called science. Because there is true science, and it's right and wrong. You know, it's either right or it's wrong. 2 + 2 = 4, and cannot be any other number. Any other number is wrong. God has given us true science. All the laws of nature are true science. But when you look at man, and you do behavior science, the only science you can come up with is what Eve came up in the garden, was that there's nothing wrong with a tree. And if there's nothing wrong with a tree, then there's nothing wrong with a tree. There must be something wrong with what God said about it, because there's nothing wrong with a tree. If there's nothing wrong with a tree, see, you turn good, which God says it is good not to eat of the tree, you know, and it is evil to eat of the tree, you turn it around because you look at the tree and it's a good tree. It was a good tree. Do you understand that? Physiologically, temporally, carnally, it was a good tree. Through human evaluation, it was a good tree. She was doing true science. Absolutely. She gets an A. You want to study science? Use that. That's the platform. It's observable, and it would have been repeatable a billion times, a trillion times, forever. Because the evaluation would always have been true through the flesh. And so psychology can only base truth on the flesh. And Paul says, that's not true science. Because God didn't create us like the rocks and the plants and the animals. He breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of man. And if you use the method you used on the rocks and the plants and the animals, you're doing Karl Marx. Observable, repeatable. As I've shared before, he said, true science is sense experience. In other words, you have to experience it. See, somebody can tell you something, and well, are you really sure? Not until you experience it. See, that's the experiential mentality today. Experiencing God. That means evaluate him scientifically. You know, and this is really manipulative stuff. This is deceptive stuff that uses, because it comes in and actually can bring, you know, the wolf in sheepskin. Actually, it's a real sheep that's over him. I mean, some sheep got skinned. It will come in looking and maybe even smelling like a sheep. But it's not a sheep. Look for the tail. And Smith, smell real close, you know. My sheep hear my voice. That's what Jesus said. Listen to the voice. And the voice of God, see, is you weigh everything from my word. See, the Holy Spirit works with the word of God, not your opinion of the word of God, but God's word itself. That's all I'm doing. I'm pointing you to the word of God, not to me. Don't follow men. All a minister can do is encourage you to walk right before your Heavenly Father. That's all he can do. He cannot come. No man can come between you and God. In fact, Jesus said, call no man master. Call no man father. You have one Father. And all a man of God can do is to encourage you to walk in right relationship with your Heavenly Father. That's all I'm saying. Don't get trapped up in this stuff, because this is intoxicating. And if you see, when Eve looked at the tree and it became good, God's word became evil. That's how you turn good into evil and evil into good. It's reversed. But the same method is used, evaluating. So you can be like God. You can evaluate. But only way you can evaluate is through your flesh. You can quote all the scriptures you want. But if you're not in, if he does not know you, if you're not under his authority, if you're not doing what he tells you to do, if you're doing what you feel like doing in his name, because that's all you can do. Do you realize that? Until you repent of your sin and you get up daily and say, God, I can't do it. And he does it through you. You are not under his authority. You're under your own authority. In reality, you are under his authority. You will be held accountable because you're practicing tyranny. You're using that office for yourself, for your carnal, fleshy self. You're not a believer. You can be a Christian, but you're not a believer in the Word of God. Now, a little bit about psychology. If Freud is the bulwark, the cornerstone of psychology, Irvin Yalom, but there was two books that were published in the 60s that they referred to as the Bible of the 60s. They are the foundation for the liberals. The one by Herbert Marcuse out of California. Well, both these men were from California. That's not important. I mean, we go to have meetings in California. We meet some really conservative people out there. I mean, it's surprising, you know. God has his remnant everywhere. You know, people say, well, let's get us all together and then, you know, take on the enemy. No, not in this life. Not in this world. God's going to judge the nations. And you know what Satan would like is all the believers to come together and then you just nuke them out, you know, get rid of them all. No, God's got you all out there. If you're doing what's right before God, keep doing it. If you're not, if you're just doing it to save the country, you're foolish. Do you realize if you're trying to save this country, you're actually maybe fighting against God? I'd say maybe, because I'm not all-knowing. But God says there will be an Antichrist, right? And all the nations will come together. And so why fight God? And I'm not saying, does that mean you go and find a hole somewhere and crawl in it and pull a rock over your head? No, you are a witness, a testimony. And if you're in office or in education, wherever you are a witness. That Greek word witness means martyrius. Have you resisted to the shedding of blood yet? See, that's where it's coming. And so because God looks at your heart to determine what to do with this nation. See, that's the foundation. God looked at Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, and said, okay, now look at the heart of the men in there. Is there any righteous man? And of course, Lot. I mean, God said he was righteous. I struggle with that. I accept it, God's terms. But to turn your daughters off to the crowd, you know, and I told my granddaughter the other day, I said, you know, I guess I got to write a book on how to raise your family in Sodom and Gomorrah. You know what? You don't raise your family in Sodom and Gomorrah. You get your family out of there. But, you know, God's going to judge the nations. And we are here. We're a witness to proclaim the truth, to be his light. I mean, it can't be his light, but let his light shine through us. And how do you do that? Do you do it through your reasoning ability? Do you do it through the group hug? Do you do it through psychology and sociology and all this this manipulative process? No. You simply share the word of God. In all your ways, you acknowledge him. Well, now, psychology, since Freud is the cornerstone, here's his story. According to Herbert Marcuse and his book, Eros and Civilization, this is Bill Clinton's Bible. These are depraved, demented men. So if you get it and read it, it's tough getting through it. It's not because of the number of pages. There's not that much. It's just that you're literally... I think it was Norman O. Brown, his book Life Against Death, to study Freud is to go back into the garden and sin again. I mean, quote unquote. So if you want to study psychology, you got to go back into the garden and sin again. You got to do it. So I'm just saying that you get this stuff. This is why it really hasn't been exposed, because this is painful stuff to go through, to look into the darkness, look into the abyss. And so, in the middle of this book, then, because you have to censor anybody who might actually be wanting to read the map, you know, to be not be ignorant of Satan's devices, Herbert Marcuse explains Sigmund Freud. And his foundation is, here's his story of civilization. He rejects the biblical account. What he does instead is he has a primitive tribe, a primal horde, he calls it. That's European, but a primitive tribe. And what it's made up of: a patriarch, a father, a husband, and his wife, the mother. They have children. And the children are simply doing their thing. You know, it's natural for a child to chase dopamine. You know, you give them a little piece of paper and you want them to have a little fun and yet entertain themselves so you can get some dishes washed or something done during the day. But it only lasts a few seconds, because every time they're connecting the neurons above, dopamine secreted. But once you go over something once, you get that pleasure. The second time the pleasure is less, and the third time it's less, and fourth time it's less. And with kids, it's only once, maybe twice if you're lucky. And then it's boring. And so that little piece of paper, what you would hope would take an hour for them to get a little pleasure out of, they're done in 5 minutes or nanoseconds. And they're looking around for more dopamine. They're looking into the environment because they know something in the environment is triggering this pleasure, and they like it, so they're going to go to wherever is in the environment that triggers the pleasure. And they look at the wall, and it's dopamine heaven, and they head to the wall with that marker. And, you know, you come in, and now you introduce them to God's structure because they're doing the human structure. They're evaluating. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with a wall. You know, the wall's not going to fall on me. The wall's not going to hurt me. The wall is a great opportunity to discover my full potential. Now, today, you know, the parents are saying, oh, wow, isn't that wonderful? Allow your child to draw on the walls. Well, you go down, you actually see town halls that open up their walls. You know, the city fathers, they will say, okay, let the kids come down and draw on the walls. I'm against that. Well, you know, I've been to Europe, and there's some pretty stuff on walls. But the agenda then is to allow the dopamine freedom. Don't chasten them. Just redirect the dopamine. But you don't learn that. See, you're patriarch. You're like God, the structure, the system. And you come in and say, cannot, must not, thou shalt not. And if they persist, you chasten them. See, if you can't get control over your flesh, because your love of this world is guiding you. And I'm going to get you off of the love of this world. I'm going to get you into loving me. See, and God chastens those he loves. And so, therefore, you practice that same process with your child. Now, according to psychology, that's neurosis, because from there on, that child has projected himself into you. You're the object of his life. He turns to you for direction. Whoa, does this sound biblical? Even in a secular home, that's what's happening. So all of psychology was to get, like Satan did with Eve, off of God the object. Instead of turning to God, God, you know, in this situation, which he already knew, should I be doing this? No. And that's what Jesus said. It is written. It is written. No, no, no. Dad's already said it. You don't have to think about it. Don't dwell on it. Don't go your ought to be or should or might or could be. Just obey him. Well, man, I'm not getting what I want. So, choose this world. Who will you choose, God or this world? You're in it. Do you want to be of it? Because if you're of it, God's judging it, and you're going with it. Now, the story then continues, according to Freud, is that these children are doing their natural thing. They're just going for dopamine. Whatever in the environment produces pleasure. And they began to play with themselves and with their mother in a way that would be called, what Freud said the father calls it, polymorphously perverse. And it's technically known as incest. In other words, there is no restraint. Whatever satisfies the flesh, and it doesn't hurt the person in their own perception, it's okay. That's incest. See, and I mentioned Abraham Maslow. Maslow talked about this educational system. He called it orgiastic Dionysian. Orgiastic Dionysian. That's incest. Do you realize that Roe v. Wade, the courts went dialectic instead of looking at what shaped this nation, the word of God and godly restraint? That's patriarchal. They turned to the cultures of the world, and what did they find? A practice of abortion around the world. That's the flesh, that's selfishness, that's carnality. They went into history to justify carnal human nature. Man became the foundation, the flesh. They evaluated through the flesh. That's what the courts did. No longer weighing from God's word above, they now made man the foundation for truth. And do you realize that all cultures practice incest? Now, I've had people, you know, this minister I mentioned that got upset, he said, well, I've been in Japan and they don't practice it. But yeah, if you look at the underculture, the upper echelon and the lower culture, there's some kinds of restraints in the middle, or it seems the middle class, because they're wanting to get up, have a stronger restraint patriarchal system. That's why you have to destroy the middle class, the bourgeoisie. Because they keep this patriarchal system in existence. You've got to produce this disparity, destroy and produce this disparity, the haves and the have-nots. And once that then becomes the issue, then it all collapses because you got rid of the restraining voice of the middle class. But at the top and the bottom, there is a tendency in the subculture of incest. And folks, this is what is now happening. We have a culture now that is going to this direction. That's the basis of psychology, because Freud was saying all children are sexually active. And he wasn't agreeing with a father saying that these children and their behavior was polymorphously perverse. He's saying that's just the father's bigoted, biased, lower order thinking mentality. He's just got a negative attitude. He is the source of neurosis, because these children are not allowed to discover themselves. They can't procreate, so he has no threat from them producing more children. They're just being themselves. But the father says, no, there's right behavior, and you got to get that flesh under control, because I'm the father, I'm the author, and I'm the authority. I give the laws, and I carry them out with force. That's the same pattern as God. So he rejected the Bible, and yet he's doing the very same thing that Satan did with Eve, with saying, okay, now there is, you want to relate with the creation, and there are things in the creation you've been told you can't relate with, improper behavior. Look at it scientifically. Will it hurt you? Well, no. Will children playing with themselves and the adults, will that hurt them in particular ways? No. You know, psychology comes out and says, oh, now we don't want all these kind of behaviors to go on. Well, they're just using that to come into the home. Because I am serious. If you study Sigmund Freud, the real process itself, and you build child protective services on Sigmund Freud, it is pedophilia. It is pedophilia. You can try to get around it all you want, but you're built on a homosexual pedophilia system. And so Freud says these children have all the sexual drives of an adult, except they can't procreate, they don't have that development yet, but they're relating with the mother in a incestuous way, and the father comes along and kicks them out. He says, no, you're not listening to me. So he drives them out, and sort of like the famous French Revolution, the tennis court oath, the directorate-to-be got together, the lawyers, and they came to a consensus to kill the king. And so these kids come back and kill the father. That's called patricide. So you have incest. Let's consensus with the sensuous. Everything that is justified in society is incest. We have a leader in this nation who says we must break down the walls between the Muslims, Jews, and Christians, and he just opened up incest. Human relationship. The environment stimulates dopamine. We look into the environment, what produces positive, and we remove the negative. Any restraint, you got rid of the first commandment, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. You just got rid of that. You got rid of all the rest. You just got rid of God. And it's the same process that Satan got Eve to practice in the garden. She got rid of God's restraining language and was now free to participate in bonding, orgiastic, Dionysian moment in the creation. No restrainer. This is why God's going to remove his Holy Spirit in the future. There's a time coming. Why? Because there is not a language of restraint. There is no longer an is and a thou shalt not. Now the oughta be's rule. I oughta this, I oughta that, oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda. You're told you can't do something you want to do. You go, well, to yourself, by the way. You say it to your parent and you're going to get in trouble. You might get away with it once. Doubt it even with a traditional parent, really strong traditional. Forget that. They're going to take care of your oughta be's. We haven't taken care of the oughta be's. You know what that is? That's when you tell your child to do something, they turn around and stare at you. You got to take care of that. That's the oughta be. That is revolution waiting to happen. And you know why you're afraid of doing it? Because you're going to have child protective services in there making sure you dialogue with your child and do the very same pattern that Satan got the woman in the garden to do. It's called matriarch, and it'll lead to heresiarch. Satan's a heresiarch. And this process is called a heresiarch paradigm. And so now the children come back and kill the father. But then, according to Freud, this is his definition of civilization. They go, well, wait a minute. You know, Dad did feed us, and he did protect us from the animals out there and put a roof over our heads. Maybe we do need some rules. Because if we just go do eros, you know, if we just do incest, if we do whatever we want to do, then nobody will protect us. Well, for a while, the mom rules. It's called matriarch. But then they go, we got to go back to some rules. So this group of kids then set up some rules, and Freud calls that the neurosis of civilization. Because those rules then inhibit true spontaneity and true freedom. They allow more, but they're not totally free. And so there's this restraint and this tension, and so there's this conflict from here on, because you have to have the work. So the workers are out there doing things they don't want to do. Why do I have to work at this press? Because, you know, the only way you're going to feed your family is to be paid by me. Well, I don't want to do it. Well, do it, or you're not going to get paid. See, that's capitalism. That's the haves and the have-nots. And so Freud didn't know how to resolve this, because he said if we just go to incest, we won't have anything left. Now, the Frankfurt School, they realized this. They also realized Marx had a problem, too, because he said, well, just shoot them. You know, just shoot these capitalists. Well, you shoot your infrastructure. And so they had to find a middle ground. How do you get Eros into the workplace? See, get the Eros into the workplace. Happy little workers, see. Make them happy workers. And so you've got to get rid of the boss structure, the boss that comes in and says, this is my business, you do it my way, or you're looking for another job. And so you have to bring in the team and the consensus and the sensuous, and you have to make sure that everybody comes to a feeling of agreement on whatever it is. I mean, you can destroy the factory and make bad products. You know, Firestone, I think it was, produced tires that were blowing up. And they were still ISO certified. ISO means that you practice this process in your company for 10 years, and everybody who does business with you practice the same process. It's the beast. It is the networking. And they say customer dissatisfaction. You know, people were dying out there, and they're saying customer dissatisfaction. Somebody isn't happy. See, that's the mindset, folks. You have to understand that the harlot comes, and everybody's happy with a harlot because she's giving them whatever their sensuous needs are. And the perception is they're not getting hurt. But, folks, eventually the beast comes along, because the beast can't have power without the harlot first. The harlot is your ought-to-bees. The harlot is, well, I oughta this and oughta that, and, you know, I deserve, and I, you know, oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda. That's the harlotry. That's the adultery. See, God says, you adulterous generation. Instead of dying to yourself and obeying me, and even the worst of all is to synthesize God's word and cover this beast to give it life. Because that's all the church growth is doing, is giving the Antichrist life. Because the church goes in a partnership with the government. The church is the harlot, and the government is the beast. That's faith-based initiative. Because what are they? They don't take care of the heart of man. Only God can do that. And they have another God. They have an anti-Christ, another Christ. He's not against Christ. He just is a different Savior. So Freud then can't resolve this. Now, he identifies every child, every person, the husband, wife, and the children in this way. They're Orpheus and Narcissus. Orpheus was a Greek figure who's a homosexual who made love to young boys. That's Freud's hero. You can't have psychology without that. That's your foundation. You got a degree in psychology? That's your foundation. You can go to Christian college, and you can have prayer in that class in psychology, but that's your foundation. Is homosexuality. You can't have psychology without Orpheus, because he is finding in relation with the environment sensuous satisfaction, and therefore he's just like a child going in the environment, get more. Whatever it is. Doesn't have to be another man with a man or woman with a woman. It can be a man with a child or a woman with a child or a man with an animal. God calls these abominations. Read Leviticus 19 and 21. Abomination. We are a nation of abomination. Psychology is built on abomination. And so here is Herbert Marcuse explaining this. Now, we find the same thing, the sensuous need. Remember Marx said true science is sense experience, which is sensuous need. I ought to be able to touch the tree. And sense perception looks at the tree. There's nothing wrong with it. And sensuous experience, you do it. And if you do it willingly, now it's incorporated within you. That is the whole foundation of psychology. That's the whole, that I just gave you Karl Marx, and it all proceeds from nature. See, that's the Antichrist. He's a natural Christ. He synthesizes the Word of God with human nature. He's able to evaluate the Word of God, and, you know, people say, well, he's more right than wrong. And if you go strictly to the Word of God, the response is, you know, you've just gone too far. you're not going to build a church. You're gonna get people killed. You're going to have martyrs. You're going to have witnesses. We don't want witnesses. We want human relationship in the name of Jesus. Now, that's Sigmund Freud. Now, I'm going to get to Irvin Yalom. Just got started here. And we're going to have several sessions on Irvin Yalom. He's published a book, Theory and Practice. Remember, Marx says, once the earthly family, See, that chastens our children. Chastening means there's right and wrong. There's a top-down system. There's contrast. Is discovered to be the secret of the heavenly family. Well, God chastens his children. There's right and wrong. It's a top-down system. He says, once you realize that traditional family is the secret of the heavenly family, the former, the traditional family, must be annihilated. 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 Now, instead of shooting him, what we're going to do is we're going to bring the community into the home. We're going to liberate the children from the patriarchal, narrow-minded, lower-order thinking parents who insist there's right and wrong. That's all Satan was doing with Eve. Once Eve could justify what she was doing, see, evaluation is to justify. When God said, it is good, it is good, it is good, he was justified in what he did. When Eve is looking at the tree, it is good, it is good, it is good, she is justified in what she's doing. So the whole agenda of psychology is to justify incest. It's no longer incest, because incest was what the father called it. Now it's just being natural. It's being yourself. You see the logic of how the homosexuals justify the abomination? And folks, there is a hate. There's a hate that's coming out. Because what did these children do? They came back and killed the father. There's a hate there. And Irvin Yalom in his book, Theory and Practice, because Marx says, once you realize that traditional family is God's secret, that traditional family must be annihilated. And how do you do it? In theory, getting everybody to think about their feelings, that's the evaluating of the world, and practice. Do it. It's not enough to think it. Do it. Kill the father. Maybe not physically. He's just irrelevant. When Eve's looking at the tree, God's word is irrelevant. His authority and his he as an author was irrelevant for the moment. You know, the judgment day's coming. Well, here's what Irvin Yalom says. Now, I'm quoting an expert in this thing, okay? Not my opinion. Here's what they say. You know, liberals come to meetings and get mad at me, but they can't disrepute what I'm saying because I quote their guys. He says, Freud noted that patricide and incest are part of man's deepest nature. We resent being told what to do. Our flesh... See, there's a battle between the spirit and the flesh. That's why God sets your mind on things above. Because if you're setting your mind on the things of this world, the world's going to win. Set your mind on things above and not on things on this world. People say, well, you're so of heavenly mind and you're of no earthly good. No, let me tell you something. You're walking in the Lord. You're of eternal good in God's name, not in yourself. And you're just bringing judgment into the world that people would repent. Because again, the law just simply says you're wicked. And you look for the Savior. Jesus fulfilled the law. You look to him, and he redeemed you from the wrath of the law, the wrath of the Father. So, again, I'm going to close. My name is Dean Gocher. Again, on my website, authorityresearch.com. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Then he's the one who directs your path. It is not in you to direct your steps. You can't do it.